רשות הרב, רשות הרצים הרב וכל הנמצאים. לפי נשמעו סדר נזיקים, ואז משנה בתשירת פרס, זה אימפורטנס אוף תוירה, תוירה is more important than כהן גודל, than everything, תוירה is above everything. But on the other hand, the סדר נזיקים is based on the equality of people. If an ox kills another Jew's ox, it's not different whether it's a Kohen Gadol or Yisrael or a Mamzer or anything, all are equal. We have to know that there is an equality in Mishpot, and there is a difference in Kovod. In Kovod, the Talmud Chochma is higher than everybody else. He stands above everything, till it makes him higher. But in Mishpot, all are equal, except some cases where there is a difference, but usually all are equal in Mishpot, because both things are true. The Torah makes a person higher than everybody else, and that all Jewish souls are mitachat kisei hakovod, all are sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all are equal in potential. The Talmud Chacham used its potential to become a Talmud Chacham. The Amoritz didn't use it as it should have been. But in potential, all sorts of Jews are equal. So, Baruch Hashem, that we have learned this Seder, and we learn in Yot Hashem the other story, and be a Talmud Chacham, everybody can become a Talmud Chacham, will be a Yot Hashem, be a Talmud Chacham, and we'll see the redemption of the whole Jewish nation, be there of your men, and eat Korban Pesach and the other Korbanos. Finish Nezikim, perhaps you begin coaching now, and eat the Korbanos, be there of your men, amen.
Okay, just nothing to do with the Dvar Torah. One of the guys just asked me, how long would it take to finish Shas Mishnayos in 2 years? 1 year? Whatever. But we should really learn from Ari, because the less you take, the better. Because the less you take, it's more likely that you can continue. And you'll finish one Seder in a few months, and another Seder in another few months. And at the end of the day, it'll take a couple of years to finish the whole thing. But it's more likely that it'll continue if you take less is more. Less is always more. If you do more, you're probably going to end up doing a lot less. So you should start. Yeah, Ari.
All right, I started a parak a day. I started when I left Yeshiva, and I stopped for a little bit, and then started again.
With less?
Yeah.
Less is more. Less is always more. Shkayach. Shkayach, Ari. Okay, second, just an announcement. For my guys, for tomorrow, just don't forget to prepare what you have to prepare, and everybody has to be 9:30 on time, please. Please, 9:30 on time. Yeah? 9:30 on time. In the blue room. 9:30 on time in the blue room, please. Okay, the Velt asks Akasha, everybody asks Akasha, everybody's mother asks this Kasha on the Agada, that the Kasha is a Pasha Kasha. The Kasha is that everybody's little sister asks the Kasha, that when you say Dayenu, in the middle of the singing of Dayenu, you ask the Kasha because it's so clear, it says if Hashem would have taken us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu, that would have been enough. So every person, when you see this line, you ask the Kasha, what do you mean? He would have taken us to Har Sinai, not giving us the Torah. That's complete opposite of the purpose of Har Sinai. That's you're giving me the raw materials, but you're not giving me the product. The goal of Har Sinai is to get the Torah. Without the Torah, there's no purpose for Har Sinai. So the Teretz that I think is the only Teretz is people perceive Torah as a science, as a intellectual science. You have, some people have in high school. I had in high school. You have math, and then Navi, and then biology, and then Chumash, and then history, and then Talmud. That's how some high schools have it. And it's dispersed within the subjects, within the rest of academics. And Torah is mamish not like that, because a guy asked me a kasha in Rav Nevinsel a few weeks ago. I thought it's the best kasha I ever heard. He said to me, Rav Nevinsel comes, and he says a nice little Dvar Torah on Chumash. Rav Nevinsel says a nice little He really doesn't say much. I mean, we have speakers coming to yeshiva, and they mamish, they go off. It's like they just start, the Torah just flows out of their mouth. And you see these great, huge giants of Torah. And Rav Nemitzel, I never saw it from him. A little Dvar Torah, a little this, a little that. From Rav Nemitzel himself, you barely hear anything. And the part is, but what do we see in Rav Nemitzel? Rav Nemitzel is Kedusha. He's Kedusha, and he's Tara, and he's Yerush Shemayim. He's a walking Yerush Shemayim. I never saw in my life more Yerush Shemayim. So the Tachlis of Torah, if a person amasses all the knowledge of Torah, and the Gemara refers to such a person as a donkey who carries Svarim, he happens to know a lot of information, but it doesn't mean the Torah went in. It's like when a person made a Siyam one time. So he said, I went through all of Shas. And the Rebbe said to him, he said, but how much of Shas went through you? If it doesn't go inside the person, so it's mamish empty. It's just a lot of knowledge that doesn't do anything. So the goal of Har Sinai was pure Yirah Shemayim, that Hashem came down and we saw Hashem. And if all we had was that one experience of connecting with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, Dayenu, that would have been enough. That would have given us enough Yirah Shemayim and enough Kedusha and enough Tara and enough all the midos that we're supposed to get from Torah. We would have gotten it from that one experience. Now, and Baruch Hashem, we also have the Torah that keeps us going forever and ever and ever. That the Torah is always a re-Har Sinai, always conjuring up Har Sinai in our lives. But Har Sinai by itself would have been sufficient on its own, because the Tachlis of Torah, the Yer Shemayim and the Kedusha and the Torah, that we would have gotten from Har Sinai alone. Dayenu. Shkayev.
If I could just speak a few minutes.
Shkoyach.
Rav Ben Shlita spoke about Maimed Har Sinai. That was the beginning of the Masorah. So I want to talk a little bit about the Masorah. We had a Siyum. So you have to know that everyone's goal in life is that you're part of the Masorah. And that you're religious, and then your kids, and your grandkids, and your great-grands, part of the Masorah. That Matan Torah at Har Sinai has to last forever. That's what Yadus is all about. And if you want the Masorah to last forever, you need Limud Torah. You have to have Limud Torah. Rav Soloveitchik would always talk about this, the Rav Zatzal at the Seder. The Seder is full of Limud Torah. It's very fascinating. When you have Magid at the Seder, you tell the story. You tell the story by darshaning Tzukim. Harami Rovi Rovi is this, it means this. It's like you're learning a Gemara. You're learning Gemara at the Seder. The Pasuk says this, it means this. Why are you learning Gemara? Just open up the Chumash and read the Psukim. The Seder seems to go out of its way to be a little complicated. This Pasuk means this. And this phrase, and sometimes you're not sure what it means. You have to go take out the CD to hear what it means. Okay, whatever. You're not sure what it means. So the Pshat is, the Rav said, that the Lel HaSeder is the Lel HaMasorah. And if you want the Masorah to survive, the only way it survives is with learning Torah. You have to learn Torah. Everyone has to be a Talmud Chacham. And come to Israel for 1 year, for 2 years. Then you go and you're in YU or Landers and you're learning a solid half a day while you're getting your degree. And you keep on learning afterwards. You know, when the person's making a living, you learn a couple hours at night if you can. Be a big Talmud Chacham. You have to have Limud Torah for the Masorah to survive. So I have my favorite story about the Masorah, and I heard it on a tape from Shlomo Karbach, Chulav Shalom, and I think it's in the book 36 too. But I'll say it the way I heard it on the tape. And to me, this story is shows what Yadus is about. So the Kalina Rebbe, one day it was time for, well, the story says it was time for Mincha. But I'm going to say Maariv because I'm out of chassid. You'll see why I'm saying it's Maariv. Maariv. It's time for Maariv. He says, we're not having Maariv here. We're having Maariv somewhere else today. He takes his 40 chassidim, and they get on the wagons, and they're going and going. One town, the next, and it's getting later and later. Very dark. It's midnight already. Here we're going to daven. We're having Maariv here. Mincha. The story says Mincha, but okay, it's a hard story. Okay, it says Maariv. So they come to a town, 40 guys with their Rebbe. We're davening Maariv in this town. Need a place to daven. So they look around, there's an inn. And they stop in an inn, and they knock on the door, and a very old man comes out. A very old man comes out, and he says, can we use your inn to daven here, to say our evening prayers? He says, yes. So they start davening. Now, Kaliners, They yell when they daven. Stalin Karlin, they're yelling and screaming. It wakes up the whole neighborhood. And it's a big Kiddush Hashem. The Goyim are so inspired. They come down. They also start davening to their praying, to their version of God. And it's an amazing Kiddush Hashem. Everyone's praying to God and crying out to Hashem. And they bring fruits for the Rebbe. And it's the most amazing experience. So the Rebbe's there with his 40 Hasidim. They're going to get back on the wagons now. They're about to leave to go back to Karlin. And the Rebbe turns to the innkeeper and he says, "Nu, what do you have to tell me?" So the innkeeper says, "Today is my 107th birthday. On my 7th birthday, the Baal Shem Tov came here with his Talmidim. And they came and they davened and it was loud and there's Kiddush Hashem and everything. And as he was leaving, he put his hands on my head and he gave me a bracha. And he said, you're going to live a very long life. And when my students come here, tell them I was here before them." And 100 years later, the Baal Shem Tov, student, came to the same town. He told them that story. So what's the point of the story? The point of the story is, if we do things the way our great-great-grandparents did them, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Orthodox Judaism is conservative with a small c. You don't have to make so many changes. Everyone's in a rush to change things. I want to be as close, Ben spoke about Har Sinai. The closer we are to Har Sinai, the better off we are. Everyone's changing. Everyone wants to change things, new things. In the outside world, the newer the better. You know, you're using laundry detergent. Oh, it's terrible because there's a newer version. You've got to use it to get better. Everything's always better. Your iPhone, my iPod is 9 years old. It's like so old, like you can't find it in the market. It's my son's old iPod, that 9 years old. For me, it's perfect. I'm happy. It has the spot where the key is that, like, when you stop a shear, it starts up at the same spot. It keeps the playback position. That's what I need. That's what I use my iPod for. But it's like outdated. You have iPhone. You have second generation, third. Everything newer is always better. But not in Judaism. Not in Torah. If we live the way our great-great-grandparents lived, more or less, we're going to be okay. Some things are different. So we have indoor plumbing. Baruch Hashem. So we're more advanced. It's good. It's good. A lot of things we have advancements in. People are always into, everyone wants to be a rush to change. And that's why we have to look to our Rabbanim for the guidance to know when an adjustment is good and when a Chiddush is not good. It's very, very important. Life is about the Mesorah. The more we can stay connected to the Har Sinai that Rav Ben spoke about, the better off we're going to be. You've got to learn a lot of Torah to stay connected. You've got to make sure your kids learn Torah. Very, very, and that's what the Seder is about. That's why the Seder is about learning Torah. There are a whole bunch of connections. You're always learning Torah at the Seder. Why? Because if you want to pass along the Mesorah to your kids, you've got to make sure they're learning. Without learning, it's kimat impossible. Kimat impossible. Keep the Mesorah alive if it's not based on Torah. And we have to know there's no need to be in such a rush to change things. If it was done this way 100 years ago, so chances are it's good to do it now. Once in a while, like what's the example we always give? What's the greatest revolution in the last 100 years? Beis Yaakov movement. Revolution. My great-great-grandmother didn't sit and learn Ramban in depth the way girls do nowadays. Beis Yaakov was a successful revolution. Why was it successful? Because Sarah Schneer went to the leading Rabbanim and said, "Is this a good idea?" And they said yes. The Gedolim wear glasses that have longer vision than we have. The Ger Rebbe, the Chafetz Chaim, 50 years, 100 years. So if the great Torah leaders think it's a good idea, then there's a good chance of success. Other new things that start, which don't have the stamp from the Gedolim, they end up failing. That's the reality. So guys, we had a Siyum today. The Siyum is about learning. Keep on learning. That's the Mesorah. Orthodox Judaism is conservative with a small c. And I think we'll stop here. Bezrat Hashem, we have another Siyum on Wednesday. Bezrat Hashem, with a couple of goodbyes as well. And also Bezrat Hashem on Sunday. And maybe also on Thursday. Bezrat Hashem. So that's what we'll see.